Good evening, everybody. Welcome to this week's installment in Substance Use and Abuse in Judaism. Tonight, we'll be discussing perhaps one of the more popular substances, namely that of marijuana. So now I'm going to be sharing screens. That way, we'll all be able to hopefully be able to follow a little bit better. I'm also going to be muting participants. Feel free to unmute yourself whenever you feel like it. Just I'm going to do mute all just because I know I hear some feedback. So again, if you have any questions, feel free to shout it out or raise your hand using the raise your hand function if you want to use that. But either way, so here we go. So use of cannabis and also hallucinogens. So the focus is going to be on cannabis because it's simply the most frequently utilized hallucinogen by an order of magnitude over the rest. So we're going to be focusing on that as opposed to the rest of them. Now, people might be a little curious as to what exactly is marijuana, right? But before we get to that, I'm going to explain a little bit about what our plan is to go through this evening. So we're going to start by going through a little bit about some interesting historical aspect of marijuana. Then we're going to go through some of the effects that marijuana can have on you. We're going to discuss about the medical side effects that may occur from marijuana usage. If anybody here is an actual licensed doctor and would like to correct me on that, feel free to when we get to that point. Also, we're going to talk about the halakhic permissibility or prohibition of marijuana. And finally, we're going to discuss, is there any difference between alcohol versus weed in terms of the effects it has on individuals? So now let's start with a little bit of the history of marijuana. So if you've been driving up and down anywhere in Canada, you notice the ubiquitous signs for cannabis. But where exactly does it come from? So as far as where it comes from, well, it comes from a plant known as cannabis, and it's a pretty popular plant. It's been around for several thousand years, right? And it goes by many names, right? It listed a whole bunch there, right? Marijuana, weed, pot, hashish, right? Also referred to as edibles, right? Or extracts, And all these nice names refer to it. It could be called the grass, right? All these nice names for what marijuana is. But when did it start being used? So the first time we have any written evidence of its usage is in almost 5,000 years ago in China, 2800 BCE, where we have it listed in some of their documents for some medicinal properties. Again, how did they use it? Unclear. They've also found various places, certain type of tar and sticky gum that has cannabis in it. So it may have been included in some sort of incense or hallucinogenic drug at some time in the past, but we don't really know because, that's not a written record. So all we can do is basically guess blindly. And as far as another fun fact you might not have known about hashish is that it actually was used derogatorily to insult followers of Hashan. Because they used to smoke a lot of hashish, and then you may have heard the term assassins. If you've ever played any nice video games, right, or Dungeons and Dragons or anything else like that, you've heard of assassins, right, or assassinations. So it's based on a derivation from the word hashish, because apparently they used marijuana, or at least the smell of hashish, at certain points during whatever assassins actually were. For that, please have fun going down the rabbit hole on Wikipedia. But as far as a positive use that's not drug-related, so it has also been used in terms of its linen product, namely that of hemp, which can make very strong textiles. So marijuana is not only used for drugs, it's also used for other things that are pretty fun as well, right? But of course, as far as the recreational use as well as medical use, so that started primarily to build steam in the 17th century, at least in the Western world. As far as its usage in the Eastern world, it was still generally used medicinally, but not used recreationally. So now that we know that there's this thing called marijuana and it's used recreationally, so the question is going to come up as far as what exactly is it being used for and by whom, right? So let's first some basic statistics. Again, this is for Canada. So if somebody's tuning in from the United States, just need to do a giant disclaimer that it is perfectly legal in Canada, as opposed to it being dependently legal on different levels in various states in the United States, as well as around the world. So please follow your local laws, dina de machuta dina, if that's relevant to where you live. Please don't do it in violation of whatever local is considered to be legal. Now, with that disclaimer ahead, so what are some of the effects that cannabis can have. So for those who are thinking of it in the positive sense, they're probably thinking of the fact that people feel more talkative, lively, giggly, euphoric, right? That's what you expect and hope when somebody is planning on using marijuana. But conversely, because it is a psychoactive drug, it can also have the opposite on people depending on the quantity that is taken. And it can also lead to people feeling tense, anxious, or fearful, or even confused, right? So it can also cause all sorts of other episodes, but for that, we'll save that for a little bit later, right? And that's from the Center for Addiction and Mental Health in Canada. So now a little bit more to the statistics. You know, there's notice this nice graph. So you'll see that there's either certain percentages of usage in 2020, 2021, right? The reason why these are we're using these years, because these are the two most recent years. And also it's pretty clear. This is also when it's been considered to be fully legal. So by fully legal, I don't mean for those who are below certain ages who are not supposed to be able to buy, similar to cigarettes, but as far as the fact that it's readily available for the average Canadian of legal age to be able to purchase, which means it's readily accessible to, basically anybody who knows how to say, can you please buy it for me? So studies taken in Canada. So in 2017, that is the year before it was legalized, the numbers indicated that 50% of Canadians age 15 and older had used cannabis in the previous year, right? With the highest age rate being those from 20 to 24, which should surprise nobody because that is college age students. And then in 2018 and 2019, the numbers increased a little bit to being 18%. And now if you were to look at the way it is now, so now you'll note that the highest age bracket the general percentage of use is amongst men, 30% or so, women, 22%. And note that as far as somebody, the college age students, age 20 to 24, know that about half of them have used marijuana or some other, or edibles or some other form of weed in the last 12 months. So that is a quite large percentage. And also realizing that the percentage of 16 to 19 year olds also means that there are very good odds that three high schoolers, odds statistically, one of them probably has tried marijuana, unfortunately, right? So that's simply the prevalence of its usage. So as far as, people used to say that, we don't know who uses it and the usage of it, it's far more prevalent now than it has ever been. And so that's why we want to discuss this. Is it something that's good and that you should be utilizing? So before we get into that, let's first discuss a little bit about the science behind how marijuana works. Right? So marijuana is as mentioned, is a plant, right? And the picture in the background, in case you're not familiar with this picture yet from being around. So there's two main parts. One is THC, tetrahydrocannabinol, which is the primary psychoactive component, and it's what generally is accredited for, what gives people the high and why they keep going back for more of marijuana. As far as the rates of that, it used to be the amount of THC used to be around 6-7%. Now there are certain strains that is around 25% content, so meaning that the amount of that you can get higher faster on certain strains of marijuana, as opposed to what people might be remembering that they heard, 20, 30 years ago. So know that marijuana is more potent now than it used to be. That'll play more in a little bit later. So again, why don't we have something called THC, right? That's the part that makes you high and also and overrides a lot of the receptors in your brain, which is also why it works for being used to deal with pain. Conversely, there's also another part called cannabidiol, which is another psychoactive component, but it is not anywhere near the same degree of giving you a high as THC is. And it's also the only part that was used for an actual prescription drug designed to treat a disease, and it's been found to actually be able to treat certain forms of epilepsy. So there's all sorts of other ones. I think there's around 400 or so cannabinoids, which means chemical compounds found, but depending on their exact formation, they have different effects. These are the two most studied, as well as the two that have proven effects. So these are the ones that, if you're ever talking about, these are going to be the ones that we talk about, THC and CBD. So as far as why it's important to differentiate the two of them is because generally when you're smoking weed or using edibles, generally it has a combination of both. But let's say, again, discussion tonight is not about medical marijuana, but part of the question for medical marijuana is, are you using too much THC as opposed to CBD to treat whatever the ailment is? Because many times CBD would be the way to go, which is, again, has lower highs, hence less potential side effects than THC does. But again, we will discuss that more in a little bit. And if you'd like to know more about the bioreactants, that is something separate. And again, important a note, again, the information here is from the CDC, that both CBD and THC work with receptors that release neurotransmitters in the brain. They can affect things like pain, mood, sleep, and memory, right? So all those we'll come back to as they play in. But for now, point being is that CBD and THC work on the brain and have certain neurological effects that are sometimes desirable and sometimes not. But we will discuss that in a little bit. So before we get in more into the details of what can happen because of weed, whether it be perception or in actuality, we have to discuss a little bit about what underlines the arguments for and against marijuana usage. So I've spent more time than I probably should have reading up about marijuana. So, but from all the arguments and articles that I've been reading, so it comes down to two basic points as to what matters in terms of whether or not you are a fan or not a fan of marijuana usage. Right? Again, assuming that it's legal, it's an important caveat. Once it's legal, right? So the first question is, what are the medical effects, both long-term and short-term of its usage, and is it addictive, right? So that's a general health question. Is this good or bad for your health, right? That's something we have to determine. And secondly, the question is, well, once we know what its effects are, right, the potential high or lows that can result from utilizing marijuana, do we want somebody to be experiencing those highs and lows? Are those highs and lows something desirable, or are they something you want to avoid as a religious Jew? Right, so those are the two main questions that we're gonna see, and we're gonna see how different rabbis over the last several centuries have dealt with this issue. So, but before we can actually appreciate that, we have to look at some of the potential bad parts of marijuana. Right, so we mentioned some of the good parts about, you know, some of the highs that can be had, but we also need to discuss the negative effects. Right, so the negative effects that can occur, something called, one of them is, the fear of addiction. So it's not as addictive by any stretch of imagination as other drugs, right? If we're going to compare the addictiveness of marijuana to tobacco, it's not even close. Tobacco is far more addictive thanks to this nicotine, but it still is a very significant chance, roughly 30%, of something called cannabis dependence or marijuana use disorder, where the person is so enamored with weed or marijuana that it ends up impairing their function in daily life. Again, not the same degree as would have from other drugs, but again, it is still significantly likely to occur. There's also the question of its negative impact on the development of the brain, because it is a psychoactive drug, which is why it is not, if somebody is below the age of 25 to 26, it is strongly recommended against because of said potential. Again, these are some of the health risks. These are courtesy of the CAMH. If I'm wrong on the exact website I quoted from, it's all Googleable, and you'll get the exact website if you want to see more. So here's some of the health risks that occur from if you use cannabis heavily or regularly, right? It can lead to issues of thinking, memory, or physical coordination. It can lead to impairment, right? As in, you know, being under the influence, which will lead to serious injuries such as car accidents and other things. It can lead to hallucinations. Just hearing, hearing, tasting, smelling, or feeling things that do not really exist. Somebody told me today the story about their friend who, when they were on marijuana, they thought they were a cat and would curl up into a ball on the couch, which is, again, not the worst thing for somebody to do, but if you thought that you were a cat and could survive a jump from any height, because cats can do that, well, that would also be a very dangerous thing to be doing, right? It can also sometimes stimulate and send mental health problems, specifically if you or an immediate family member had a mental health issue, right? So that if you have a past history or in your family of any sort of psychosis or addiction or anything else, then marijuana is found to trigger it. Also, again, if you are smoking it, it'll lead to breathing or lung problems because you smoked it. If you're smoking it smoke agitates the lungs, which increases the odds of getting cancer. And also, again, if somebody's pregnant, that also is a problem because, again, of the getting into the fetus, whether it be from the smoke or from the cannabinoids themselves. Either way, it should stop. You should stay away if somebody happens to be pregnant. So now that I've sufficiently made us all sad and depressed by saying all the bad things we have with marijuana. So let's narrow it down a bit. So the first thing we mentioned is the question of the health effects. So if there are definitively provable bad negative health effects, then the discussion around whether or not you should utilize marijuana, again, it is a debate amongst doctors nowadays to how bad it is, right? But the point is that if the conclusion is that that the doctor wouldn't recommend you to do so, you shouldn't do so based on the fact that we are all required to guard our lives and stay healthy. And so therefore, if you want to see more on that discussion, please see, we discussed it last week. We discussed about tobacco and smoking. But again, if that's the case, again, please see that. That's one thing to deal with. But now let's pretend for a second that we can ignore, let's say that we have determined that for whatever reason, there are no longer any negative medical effects, right? Again, that is a very big if, not really true. Let's just hypothetically hold on to that for a second. So if we hold on to that for a second, we can come to a slightly different conclusion, right? So now once we are no longer concerned that however we're consuming our marijuana isn't going to lead to our impending death in any way, shape, or form, then we can discuss a little bit further about what exactly the issues are with being in the subsequent state that is achieved by utilizing marijuana. But again, that's not necessarily so clear. So in this regard, so I'd like to first take a look at Moshe Feinstein, because he lists most of the reasons that will end up coming up later in other rabbis as well. Right? So Moshe Feinstein is writing this in 1973. So apparently one of the original writers is a native who asked the questions for Moshe Feinstein, is native Torontonian. So the question was, are you allowed to smoke hashish, marijuana? And the answer is, it's obviously prohibited for several sentient reasons on a biblical level. So one reason is that we mentioned already is that it ruins and destroys the body, right? So that is the medical question of smoking marijuana being bad for your body. The other thing is that it ruins their mind. And what does that mean? It means that they're unable to understand things properly, which is even worse as it prevents them from learning Torah properly and from prayer, performance of mitzvot, as doing each of these without proper awareness is as if you haven't done them. Right? So if somebody happened to be, so since the one issue is, again, physical problems, the other one is the psychological effects it has on you, that while you're using it, you definitely are not fit to pray or anything else. But also if you were to speak to somebody who is a frequent user, you'll note that they have short-term memory issues as well as sometimes long-term memory issues resulting from marijuana usage, which would mean that they would be in a state where they're unable to properly perform many mitzvot. And as we discussed a couple weeks ago in regard to alcohol, that in fact performance of certain mitzvot when you're sufficiently inebriated and no longer in your right mind is actually extremely problematic. And the Gemara says, if somebody was so drunk they can't talk before a king, that it is if they are, their prayer has become an abomination. So that is something that if you worried about also in regards to marijuana usage. Another issue is, so that's of the usage and during the usage will cause. But there's also certain after effects. So such as the increase in appetite and other desires. Sometimes it refers to as the munchies, right? So let's read Moshe's thoughts on that. Right, it causes a great desire, even more so than the desires for and the like that a person needs to live. And there are those who are unable to control the desires. And it is immense prohibition, as it is stated by Ben Sora or Morah, the rebellious son. And on the larger desire to eat far more, even though it is kosher, even more so that it is prohibited to bring oneself so great a desire, something that isn't even a necessity for a person is prohibited. So here, Ramosha Feinstein ties the issue of inciting great desire to being a leading down the wrong path, like that of the Ben Sora Mora, the rebellious son who according to the Gemara never actually existed, but the rebellious son who according to Torah law will have to be put to death because of what he's eventually going to do, right? And that's how Right, and Moshe continues, and the problem with Sodom and Gomorrah is that he will eventually become abandoned and endanger people. So this argument people may have heard is also referred to as the. So then there's two separate parts. One is the increasing desires increases the likelihood of becoming a Ben Sodom and Gomorrah. That's a rebellious son who steals money from his parents in order to buy meat and wine and state what he needs, which many people may note sounds familiar to somebody who is unfortunately under the throes of an addiction and is trying and needs to get money to feed his addiction. So it appears to that may be the case here as well. As far as for exactly how addiction works, we're going to discuss that more at the panel, but also we'll discuss it also a little bit next week. We'll talk about whether or not there's addiction for media usage. But again, one issue is the state of desire, which is you shouldn't be having such strong cravings because we're supposed to be in control of ourselves. And also the fact is that the matter is that it might bring you into a bad crowd and lead you to becoming a bandit and then endanger the public, right? Which is also understandable. But as far as, again, this is from almost 50 years ago. So that fear of again marijuana leading you to becoming abandoned is far less nowadays because, well, as we noted earlier, about half of college students have used marijuana in the last year. Yet, as far as I know, majority of college students, or even a significant minority, aren't becoming violent criminals. So that one is more or less been debunked. But again, the fact of the matter is that we have not necessarily for marijuana specific, but in general with drugs, again, that is a worry that is put forth. So we can't ignore that being a worry. Okay, another issue is. For the mother and the father, those who smoke, this brings great pain to them, and it is a violation of honoring one's parents. Kibbutz aim, right? If your parents will be given great distress knowing that you're doing so, that is something that is relevant to be aware of. There's also the concept of kiddushim to you; you shall be holy, as expressed by the Ramban in his Torah commentary. Right? So that if being on marijuana is viewed negatively by society. And then you are participating in a negatively perceived act, then you are, instead of promoting God's name, you are disgracing it, and you're not performing your act, your mission of being a holy individual, rather you're doing something else entirely. So, right, again, this is all directly related to, assuming this is directly caused by marijuana usage. And then Ramosha concludes with, it also causes far more prohibitions besides this. And at the end, it is obvious and clear that amongst the severe prohibitions, right, so therefore you can't definitely know no marijuana, and you need to fight against it with all your might to remove the impurity from Bnei Israel, especially from those who learn in yeshiva. Right, so Ramosha finds it comes down very hard on why you should not smoke marijuana. Right, so we can argue with some of the points as far as the destroying of the body and mind, if that's necessarily medically true. As well as for the will it necessarily lead to your being in a getting in with a bad crowd, but that is again potentially debatable. But as far as the issues of inciting desire, which is not desirable, as well as the not properly honoring one's parents or not necessarily leading the most idealized Torah lifestyle, it is definitely relevant. But it's also important to note that note of Kedoshim to you is an overarching concept and will also include a lot of other things, such as we discussed in terms of smoking and alcohol in previous weeks, about how that also might tie in. Again, if you're smoking or using alcohol when it is not considered to be a standard practice, that also might be prohibited under the same logic. Okay, so does anybody have any questions on the tshuva that we've read about Ramosha Feinstein and his reasons for why he's not a fan of marijuana?
Yeah, I don't quite understand the difference between moderate use of marijuana and moderate use of alcohol and excessive use of marijuana, excessive use of alcohol. Because alcohol seems to be not only liked, but it's actually encouraged by Orthodox Jews.
We will get there. Not to worry.
Okay.
Have a slide.
And the other question.
Yeah.
And the other question, I don't remember Rav Moshe saying last week that it's forbidden to smoke if it causes pain to your parents.
So he didn't. So Ramosha's position on smoking is you shouldn't smoke, But if you're
right, but
if you're currently addicted, it's a derita, I can't stop you. And if you're smoking bothers
no, but around why did, you, why can't. Didn't it come up? Why didn't this cancer causing thing come up last week? Is a derita for this week? He's saying it's a derita. It should be forbidden. It's kibbutz ha'am, and it never came up for smoking.
The answer is that while Ramosha might not have mentioned it, everybody else did. So, and whether Ramosha changed his mind later in life, it appears that he probably did, but he may not have wanted to say it for whatever reason. As in, he clearly wasn't a fan. Just once he was addicted, he was like, if you were already addicted before you knew that it was bad for you, then I guess I can, you know, then you could then let you know. And the effects of withdrawal might be hard. That's a different
thing. So
in general, he would say if you were born after 1980, meaning, and you were alive when it was definitively known that smoking kills, then you no longer have that excuse. Hope that's clear.
If you're already into marijuana, then you don't have to kick it.
You can't get it. But yeah, that's a little. You're not supposed to be into, meaning, as far as the dangers involved. So it's been known.
If it's already a fact. If it's already
correct. So once you're beginning,
if
somebody is addicted to something, they should make sure you get proper professional help. In order to not be addicted to whatever that addiction happens to be. That is quite clear. For more on that, please see the, we'll go through together the writings of Rabbi Dr. Twersky Zatzal, who wrote extensively about it. So
there is the issue of, we'll go to in a bit, of what is the difference between alcohol and usage versus marijuana usage, but we'll save that for a little bit. First, let's focus more on the issues that come up with marijuana specifically. So as far as the exciting desires, so Rabbi Nachman Breslov, right? Or, you know, Rabbi Nachman, if that's easier for you to remember, right? So Rabbi Nachman, so he wasn't a fan of exciting desires, and he called all the physical desires or some aspect of klipot, right? It says that, right? So in general, you should try and avoid the klipot, these physical desires, as much as possible. This is more philosophical. So as anybody's saying, and then you shouldn't be one overly chasing the physical, right? So that's Rabbi Nachman's general opinion. Right, and he also writes elsewhere that when someone eats like a glutton and a drunkard, this being synonymous with the blemishing of the altar, the evil forces draw excessive subsistence so that foolishness overpowers the intellect. Whereas by eating properly, they are subdued as above. Right, so their physical desires aren't necessarily good because certain times, certain physical desires your body doesn't need. But again, if they are necessary for your survival, you obviously should make sure, again, if you're hungry or thirsty, you should eat, you should drink. But as far as should you, stoke your desires, so he says not. You should not be a glutton. You should not be a drunkard, right? And says that this is that by doing so, you are actually damaging again, metaphysically. Again, this is more Kabbalistic, not exactly my forte. So that's why you should not do so, because it'll eventually overpower your intellect, and therefore that'll be do it in the wrong direction, right? There are ways for food and drink to lead in the right direction, but that is not by being a glutton or a drunkard. So if the cause of marijuana is excessive promotion of physical desires, and marijuana itself is an experienced desire, well, you should not be a marijuana, according to Rabbi Nachman. So, another question that'll come up, again, we have the main issues by Ramosha about the physical problem as well as the fallout, but there's also a question that comes up as, are you allowed to use substances to achieve higher spiritual heights? So this question was asked to Lubavitcher Rebbe in 1964, and here is his opinion. It's in regards to LSD. We'll see that his points apply to this as well. So worthy of note is that Bob Jeremy did have a doctorate. I'm pretty sure it was in chemistry, but again, not in biochemistry, as we'll see. So my opinion regarding the new drug called LSD, which is said to have the property of mental stimulation, etc. For more on that, You can take a look at LSD, and but again, LSD is a class one drug. It is far more controlled and far more dangerous than marijuana is in terms of its hallucinogenic and psychological effects. But again, that is not the main focus. Main point is that utilizing a drug to reach a high. So now, biochemistry is not my field, and I cannot express an opinion on the drug you mentioned, especially as it is still new. However, what I can say is that the claim that the said drug can stimulate mystical insight, etc., is not the proper way to attain mystical inspiration, even if it had such a property. The Jewish way is to go from strength to strength, not by means of drugs and other artificial stimulants, which have only a place if they are necessary for the physical health in accordance with the mitzvah to take care of one's health. I hope that everyone will agree that before any drugs are taken, one should first utilize all one's natural capacities. And when this is done truly and fully, I do not think there will be a need to look for artificial stimulants. So here, right, so we have the Lubavitcher Rebbe quite clearly saying that you might be able to have a spiritual experience from usage of LSD or what appears to be a spiritual experience from LSD or marijuana, but that is definitely not the right way to go. And we only tend to use medicine when it's actually relevant to, right? We utilize these medicines if you need it for your health. It's not something that you simply use on a whim for fun. We use medications when strictly necessary, because we do not like to artificially affect our thought processes unless there's good medical reason to be doing so. Okay, so from here, again, so just like, right, the Rebbe is not a fan of LSD, definitely not a fan of marijuana. And in case you were curious as to whether or not, you know, this wasn't strong enough for you, so we also have, this is slightly out of order. This is Rebbe Dean Steinsaltz, Zatzal, also from if you've heard of the Steinsaltz translation of Gemara, or many of the other of his translations put out that Rabbi Steinsaltz did in terms of from Aramaic into Hebrew, and that has later been translated into English as well, right? So Rabbi Steinsaltz, Rabbi Adin Evan Yisrael, actually was again, I didn't know this till after he passed away. He actually had been a chozer b'tshuva, and the person who was chozer b'tshuva was Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson, the Lubavitcher Rebbe. So one time they were talking, and the question was, what about drugs? So he was speaking about the effect on a person taking drugs. He said that the opinion of the Torah in general is that the person should be master over his or herself, and enslavement of any sort is wrong. So can a person still be the master over himself when involved with drugs and other addictive substances? The problem with using any kind of drugs or almost anything that has a little bit of psychoactive material is the same. Indeed, almost everything is psychoactive, including bread. If one fasts and takes a piece of bread, it is possible to see how changes are made in one's psyche. The specific problem, however, with drugs is that people come relatively fast to a point of no return. In truth, there is never a point of no return, but one quickly reaches a point from where it is very hard, almost impossible to return. All right, so the issue of utilizing drugs here, again, the main point is you need to be control over your own thought processes and your own free will, and anything that you do that will remove that ability of yours is problematic. So the reason why you shouldn't be utilizing any sort of drug that can affect this is because, right, such as marijuana, is because it will actually lead to your being unable to make the proper choices which you're supposed to be doing. We are here on this world to do something, and in order to do it, we need to have our intellect fully intact. So another one is opinion is that of the Chalban, right? Rabbi Chaim Ezra Cohen, right? So he was a Kabbalist in Israel. So, right, to go to the name Chalban because he was a milkman when he was younger. So he says that what's the wrong with marijuana is that it brings something called the spirit of impurity, Ruach Ra'ah. It also causes pagam habrit, sexual morality, intentionally and inadvertently to anyone who uses it, whether it be man or woman, and it imbues the user to disgrace mitzvot and the sayings of the sages. All right? So that is, so again,
as far as marijuana effects, right? So again, while using marijuana, definitely will have, can make somebody do that. And also, again, this is a, again, not reported. This is the only source we have for this, but he heard that Rav Nachman of Breslov had, when he had tuberculosis, knew that marijuana was a treatment. He did not use it because of the spirit of impurity in it, and therefore was left with no medicine. Right? So here, yeah, so clearly, if you have chosen here, so here apparently Rav Nachman had a choice between using weed versus suffering from pain for tuberculosis, and he chose to not use marijuana because he knew of all, because of all the potential bad effects it could have. But the point that I really wanted to focus on is he says that what is it like? It is like the sin of Peor because it causes a desire for hefkerut, wantonness. Careful not to sleep in a room with one who uses it, or it'll enter you as a spirit like them. Okay, so here we see the fact that the Chabad, that why shouldn't you be utilizing it? Because it can have many other effects and stimulate desires for things that you shouldn't want. And that's the main problem with using marijuana, is that it'll pull you in the wrong direction. Right, and for that pull, again, whether it's during usage or after usage, is why you should be very careful and stay away from marijuana if at all possible. Of course, again, issue with that is people will argue based on the fact of current medical data, but again, there is what to be said as far as the type of gatherings that often end up including marijuana. Okay, and there's also is another a question again related to before. This is from Rabbi Yaakov Ariel. Right. So Rabbi Israel. So he's asked, what's the problem of utilizing, again, slimmer types of drugs, soft drugs? Right. So he says the problem is something called Naval Rosh of the Torah. Right. Which in English is degraded with the Torah's license. It's one who licenses himself, for example, to gorge himself on wine, meaning to become an alcoholic. The sensation and imagination of which you speak are counter to the human destiny of truly actualizing one's potential, fulfilling the command of Kodeshim to you, you shall be holy. Even if we ignore, as it were, the problem of addiction and the harm which, God forbid, a person who takes the drug can inflict upon himself or others, a person's entry into a situation in which he loses intellectual control, entering the influence of drugs upon his sensation and imagination and elevating them over his intellect would be a great corruption. Right? So Rav Yaakov Ariel, writing not so many years ago, but the last decade, right, is clearly stating that, again, even without the medical problems, right? Again, assuming they don't exist, which they kind of do, right? Or debatably do, depending on the extent and type of usage, there is the problem of being under the effect and haze of marijuana that you should not be in, because you're supposed to be having control of your intellect, and to give that away is a terrible thing. It'll make you be called Genevo Blershut HaTorah, the grade of the Torah's license. And it is definitely not under the Kedoshim to you, you shall be holy, and is not a state that we should aim to be in. So, right, so as in, so I would be remiss to talk about it without quoting Amar Da'ata, Rabbi Kropkin, right, who also spoke on this matter in regards to the Canadian Jewish News. Right. And so again, Rabbi Kropkin, in the article there, so they interviewed him. So he quoted many of the arguments we've seen before, right? The question of, right, damaging one health, the question of overuse of a substance that you're incapable of prayer and doing other mitzvot. So, and then again, as well as what happens by Purim and wine and why it's a little bit different, the fear above the gateway drug. Well, there are potentially beneficial ways to use it, which, right? So let's read that part. There's recognition even from the biblical period that people suffer various pressures and depressions, and in order to be able to shake off some things that prevent you from fully expressing joy, some of them are permitted but mandated to indulge in small quantities of mind-altering drugs, he said. Right, so of course, he acknowledged the Bible's references to drugs usually pertain to wine, and it's unclear whether marijuana will be similarly considered. As for smoking to achieve spiritual connection, Rabbi Kropkin said, I think it's conceivable that using certain substances could get you in touch with God. A lot of times, people have trouble seeing beyond a rigid three-dimensional universe, and certain substances let people see beyond the veil of the physical world. All right, so from reading the words of Rabbi Kropkin, it might sound like, okay, so if that's the case, and we have figured out how marijuana is, you know, not lethal,
and how we figure out how to use it properly, maybe it would be potentially productive. But also note that that's not necessarily the case, and also the fact that those first several caveats are very hard to say. But also, as we suffer other opinions that, again, are to fit, such as the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and as well as Rabbi Yaakov Ariel, and others, that the achieving of a spiritual state through drug usage is not ideal, and in fact, it might not be a truly genuine experience that you're having. So, but in order to uncomplicate things, right? So sometimes we get confused as what are okay versus not okay things to be using to stimulate one's brain. So let's talk a little bit more. We'll go back and talk a little bit about alcohol, right? So what are some of the differences between alcohol and marijuana? So to that, right? So let's go through them one at a time. So the first one is that, as noted by Rabbi Kropkin, there are something called times when it is a mitzvah to use wine, right? So that is a very big difference between wine and marijuana, is that there are mitzvot that require the use of wine, but there are no such mitzvot with marijuana. So while there might be times to risk the dangers of wine usage, but as far as is it worth risking the dangers of marijuana, it's far less likely because it's not directly related to any mitzvah that you should be doing. Also, there's a different major difference between alcohol and marijuana is focusing on the time it takes to take effect. When somebody drinks a shot of alcohol, right, it's not immediate, right? It takes, you know, a couple minutes or sometimes, you know, a quarter of an hour, depending on the individual, before it actually enters the bloodstream and properly gives the person that effect. As opposed to if somebody eats edibles, smokes marijuana, it can happen much quicker as well. Also the rate, and not only that, also the rate of which you reach that state is far higher, right? Marijuana takes you from zero to 100 much faster than alcohol does. And there's also the fact that for alcohol, it's easier to have one glass of wine. And if you want, you could have two. And if you want, you could have three. Right? It's very easy to slowly control the dosage. So again, at a certain point, you will lose control. But again, there is the ability to control built in, as opposed to marijuana, where that is much harder to do because you are much quicker and faster out of your own ability and facilities. And also, there's an idea we discussed a couple weeks ago in regards to alcohol. That alcohol, there is the idea that alcohol can wisen, right? It can wisen and make one happy, and right, that is a historical fact that we know that it can, and also it is also quoted by the Gemara as being used to comfort mourners specifically. So there are noted usages for the average individual of wine, and therefore it will be positive. Conversely, though, marijuana, there are no necessarily positive effects, and again, not counting the several songs that have been said to have been inspired by usage of drugs in general. Anything else positive from drugs? The answer is there aren't really anything productive that has occurred. There's also worthy of mention as well. Others, again, as mentioned earlier, that of the gateway drug, that cannabis is also coupled with far more troubling behaviors. But on the other hand, drinking is too. So that wouldn't necessarily be a difference, because in fact, alcohol also leads to uses of other addictive substances, just like cannabis does. Just cannabis tends to often be a little better at doing it. And there's also the matter, some people have argued that, we're more under control of our usage of alcohol. But the answer is that, well, yes and no, but we'll discuss more about alcohol usage, hopefully, when we discuss and losing control over our alcohol usage when we discuss drinking on Purim in 2 weeks. But there's also, again, one of the pluses for cannabis as opposed to alcohol is the fact that it is very hard to overdose on cannabis. So I was talking to a friend of mine who works in housing at a university, and says that, you know, he's very worried. You know, he thinks it's far more dangerous alcohol than cannabis, because about every single week, in one of the dormitories, there will be some a student who needs to have their stomach pump rushed to the hospital because they had too much alcohol. But that does not occur with cannabis, with marijuana usage, right? That you're not typically, with great frequency, sending somebody to the hospital because they did not know how to use weed properly, but it very frequently happens in regards to alcohol. But again, there still is the issue of while somebody is currently under the influence, that there are many bad things that can happen both from alcohol or marijuana or any other psychoactive stimulant, that once you are no longer fully cognizant, you can violate many things and lead to great bodily harm. For more on that, you can see the definition of DUI for driving under the influence. Again, it doesn't include just specifically while it used to be DWI, driving while intoxicated, but they had to update the law to include all forms of drugs that would actually, or substances that would impair one's judgment, because when operating a car or something that could potentially be dangerous, you have to be fully cognizant, and impairment is bad. So now, just to review, many of the sources on why you should not be drinking. So some of the reason why you shouldn't use marijuana is because of the negative medical effects. The actions that can be done while you're under its influence, the after effects of using it, types of cravings and desires, the question of, there's also, yeah, I didn't speak so much because it's more of a general question of is it a good usage of your time, right? When you finally are able to relax and unwind at the end of the day, is it considered to be a good thing to spend, you know, your evening stoned out of your mind on weed, or should you be doing something more productive to relax? But again, we'll talk about that more next week. We talk about the addiction to media. There's also the question of getting into the bad crowd, Mensura Moreh, the gateway drug, as well as potentially not honoring one's parents, as well as the question of artificial spirituality not being true spirituality. So before I get to the proper summary, does anybody have any questions on what we've covered so far before we get to the next, before I summarize the whole nine yards?
What about medical marijuana?
So medical marijuana is prescribed by a doctor. So if the doctor prescribes it properly, then that is fine. Again, as mentioned earlier, depending on why the doctor is prescribing it, they should make sure to use the proper strain or type, because sometimes for certain ones, again, CBD alone is sufficient. So again, doctors should be cognizant of that. A lot of times they give a blanket medical marijuana license, because this is more relevant to the US than to Canada. And a lot of times people end up not, like, there's not necessarily sufficient regulation of certain types of medical marijuana, which can then lead to problems. But as far as, let's say, the drugs, such as the CBD drug for treatment of epilepsy, so that is entirely fine and fine to use if prescribed properly. With regards to the medical marijuana license, it has to be used with a little bit more, a lot of doctors don't, not only the doctor, but also the patients don't necessarily properly utilize it, because there's a lot of different strains and types of weed on the market that not necessarily all will be properly geared towards a specific illness, and that's more of a medical thing that I am not qualified to fully go into. Okay, so I know somebody had asked me a question in regards to I believe the question came up in regards to why there's no Hefcher on. Why is there no Hefcher on any weed products?
COR has had a policy that they're not going to give a Hefcher on edibles because they don't want to promote the usage. But the question was, why do they give a Hefcher to alcohol? What's the differentiation?
Right. So the differentiation is that there are misvote involving alcohol. It's more of a known quantity than marijuana is, and again, due to lack of regulation, etc., as well as the other issues mentioned of the degree of craving that it's done and that it's very rarely used in moderation, is part of the issue. as in, right, so the you know, having a, you know, a normal meal and having a drink, a glass of wine is considered to be a normal, healthy, productive thing, and have no real negative effects, as opposed to, you know, I do not know of an individual who's had a, you know, a nice calm dinner after having had edibles. That's generally not the way that it goes in terms of the degree that it affects an individual. Does that answer the question sufficiently, or?
Yes, thank you, yes.
Okay. Thank so you. Also, and I have linked in the in the chat again. Let me try and pull it up again. So I'll try and I'll put in the chat again. I put the link to the source sheet, because there I also then I have links to a lot of the other relevant data as well. So again, so to summarize, before I go to the description of sources, if those who want to hear more. So again, the summary, we discussed why you shouldn't be using weed or hallucinogenics, right? The main reasons being medical health risks, not a state you want to be in, as well as the potential things that you might do while you're in said state. Then we also discussed the question, is of the spirituality achieved through problematic means? We said, and we saw how most opinions are the negative. There might be some room to be used, but as far as properly, yeah, the joke is no. If it's purely artificial, that is not considered to be good. If there was some more interim path, then perhaps. But as far as if it's purely artificially, you know, the supposed, you know, spiritual experience, that is not the right way to go. And for this, I just want to add a story that I heard once. I heard this from Raviel Benun. So Raviel Benun was asked. So he's interviewed a couple years back about the practice of people going to Uman for Rosh Hashanah. So he first explained how Rabbi Nachman said that you shouldn't go to Uman to visit his kever. Rabbi Nachman in his life had said the place to spend the holidays, the proper place is, if you have to choose, is Israel, right? That's the place you should be. That's where the Jews place. And then over the course of the interview, so the journalist said, well, okay, but what about the fact that everybody who goes to Uman says it's such an extremely spiritual experience, it's so uplifting and amazing? So Rehobinan said, that's true. But I'm also sure that the Chet Egel, the sin of the golden calf, was also an extremely spiritual and uplifting experience. Right, just because an experience might feel spiritual and uplifting doesn't mean that's actually what occurred. Right, so then while it's possible to achieve what appears to be spiritual enlightenment, but it actually being something very, very different. And then we discussed a little bit about the question of alcohol and why isn't alcohol in the same boat as marijuana. So we noted the differences in terms of, well, there is the option I didn't really talk about so much, that some say that actually you should avoid both unless there's an actual commandment to, right? Both are bad, right? You giving up your free will in any shape or form should only be done if it's actually mandated. Like, you know, on Purim, if you have to drink, you should drink, but only drink as much as you need to fulfill the mitzvah, right? If you need to say Kiddush on a Friday night with wine, you have a glass of wine, that's it. Or, you know, if you can use grape juice instead, utilize grape juice, and that's perfectly fine. But there's also the other question is we discussed how there is proper context and why it can be used. It can be overall positive outcome, not necessarily the case with marijuana, and also the fact of the types of drugs that are very different, which can also lead to a huge gap in terms of whether or not you can eat. Again, there is a lot of caution necessary for use of alcohol, because alcohol is a very frequently used and often abused drug, leads to a lot of deaths and damage of many different sorts. But it also is used by many properly. So it's, again, so that's why it's also a little more complex than to give a perfectly straight and narrow answer. So as far as some of the sources that I used looking into this, so if you'd like to read more. So I found this excellent book called Marijuana and Halacha, which is written by an anonymous author, but again, a good compilation of a lot of different sources in regards to marijuana, translated in English. Again, if you'd like it. Again, as far as why there's no Hefsher on it, that's, you can see Rabbi Tzvi Hamheber of the COR's article on that as well for his full position Also highly recommended is the, as Rabbi Avram de Twersky sells both almost basically all of his books, as well as a particular article he had on substance abuse in adolescence, right, where he discusses, you know, ways to detect and treat it. Again, also relatively short and a good read. And if somebody, and I know that Elaine asked earlier about medical usage of marijuana. So for that, again, I'm not a medical expert. I know there are doctors on the call. I'm not sure if they're comfortable fielding your questions, but they might are far more qualified. But again, medical usage of marijuana is, again, medical usage. So doctors are, a lot of medical treatments are potentially harmful and have great risks. But again, that is a doctor's call to make, as well as to educate their patients to that effect. So that is, but that is a very different story than recreationally using something, because there's a reason why you can do things for medically that have great risk, but you wouldn't necessarily, you know, again, any surgery is very, very risky, but again, for certain and net and results is worth it, as opposed to others where you would not say so. So now that we've finished mostly this one, I just want to point out again what's on the table moving forward. So again, next week we're going to talk about media addiction, right? Right, overusage of media, which I'm sure people have been used to considering COVID and being locked indoors for large stretches of time. Also, we're going to discuss right before Purim. The week before, we'll be discussing about whether or not you're supposed to drink at Purim, how, to what extent, and why. We'll also have, again, a panel discussion related specifically to drug abuse, the pandemic, and the Jewish community on Sunday, March 13th on Zoom. There'll be a separate flyer coming out for that. So please stay tuned. I'll hopefully have it ready for you by next week for sure. And hopefully, if I get it in time, hopefully we'll have it ready for the shul's weekly bulletin. So if anybody has any other questions, I'm going to stop sharing screen now and feel free to ask them, and I'll try my best to answer them.